The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org. Street sweeps occur every day in the downtown east side. City staff, accompanied by officers from the Vancouver Police, clear the area around Main and Hastings of people and their belongings. Earlier in October, Pivot Legal, along with VanDoo and other community groups, conducted research and surveys related to the street sweeps during Vancouver Homeless Action Week. I recently spoke with Meenakshi Mano, criminalization and policing campaigner with the Pivot Legal Society, about this daily practice. Hello, Meenakshi, and welcome back to Co-op Radio The Pulse.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Now, I know this was a few weeks ago, but there was the Homelessness Vancouver Homelessness Action Week, and in particular, there was a focus on the street sweeps that occur daily on along Hastings Street. Can you tell us, first of all, what's happening? What is a street sweep? What goes on?
Sure. So a street sweep initially sounds like a pretty harmless practice. It's ostensibly a tool for cities like Vancouver to keep their sidewalks and streets clear of debris, make sure that people can pass through, including people who have disabilities or use mobility aids. But practically, what it's come to look like is a group of unionized city workers going out in partnership with officers from the VPD and dismantling shelters, throwing away people's personal belongings, including very precious belongings. And this doesn't even just happen once a month or once a week or once a day. It's actually a practice that occurs multiple times daily, targeting folks in the downtown east side and contributing to a very harmful cycle of displacement that is really eroding people's humanity.
So what happens? I mean, I've heard stories about, you know, workers with pitchforks and a dump truck or something along that line. Is that in fact what's going on?
Absolutely. So during Homelessness Action Week, myself, as well as VanDoo members and a number of other people from different nonprofits and organizing groups that are interested in anti-poverty work, we went out every day, leaving around 8 a.m. and being out on the street until 10:30 or 11. So we did see the city workers. They come with a pickup truck. Some do have pitchforks, and they're using those to toss away things like tarps, tents, strollers. I was explicitly told by one city worker that their role is to dismantle shelter or structures on the street. And it's just a very devastating practice. Basically, you see a worker give people a 5 or 10 minute warning to pack up their belongings, and they're told that they have to leave. They're not told if there's anywhere that they can go. And we know that people who rely on public space have very few options in terms of where they can go when they're told to pack up. But nonetheless, they're told by these city workers or the police officers with them that they need to pack up their stuff and leave. And the practice also just makes no sense, because we know that folks are homeless. We know that they are pushed out of sidewalks, but they're also pushed out of parks like Crab Park or Strathcona Park. And it really just begs the question, where are people meant to go?
You mentioned people who need the public spaces. What it seems to me, public spaces seem to be shrinking and shrinking as, you know, gentrification happens. Is that in fact happening? What sort of public spaces are still available to people?
That's a great question. So we've seen how people's access to public space and public amenities has been reduced because of COVID, because different spaces have new operating procedures that limit how much time people can spend in them or how many people are allowed in them. We know that the city is targeting residents of encampments. The city and the Parks Board are both targeting those folks. And we know that there's also stigma. So even when folks are able to maybe go inside in a place like a shopping mall, they're being targeted or profiled. And of course, we hear that from Indigenous people all the time, the way that they're racially profiled by private security guards in these spaces. So there's really nowhere to go, and there's increasingly less public space. And I must add that this is all happening on unceded territory. And the fact that Indigenous people are subject to so much displacement highlights how racist the practices really are.
I'm guessing then that Indigenous people are disproportionately part of the homeless population living out on Hastings Street and around the downtown east side. Is that right?
That's correct. So in Vancouver, 40% of people who are made homeless are Indigenous. And globally, Indigenous people are overrepresented in homeless populations. Again, because this is an extension of the colonial dispossession, right? We're pushing them off of their land, off of their own traditional territory, and then we're further pushing them even when they're in urban areas.
What are the bylaws that ostensibly are being enforced through these street sweeps? What is it the city is saying that they're doing?
So these are bylaws around camping or vending on the sidewalk. If you take a walk around some of the streets, including, you know, many streets around Co-op Radio itself, you'll see posted, often quite high up, a sticker with the bylaw information. And, you know, Pivot's long made the argument that if governments are displacing people pursuant to these bylaws, but they know that people have nowhere to go, they're jeopardizing their security and safety.
And is there anything to suggest in your observation? You said you spent time with people from Vandu and out on the street looking, witnessing these street sweeps. Is there anything to suggest that the city workers or the VPD have any sort of training in dealing with the people who are actually out there on the streets? Or are they being treated, are they being just dismissed as homeless people, or are they at least being treated with a bit of respect?
I think it's a mixed bag. Some of the city workers that I saw definitely appeared to know the folks on the street. They knew that some of them were artists. Again, they're displacing the same people every day, because it's not like folks are going to become magically housed from one day to the next. So you would expect that they form some kind of like relationship or rapport. But it is really mixed. And during our blitz of research and surveying folks, we talked to over 100 people about the impact of these sweeps. And I think what we heard was just the inconsistency and how folks who are experiencing the sweep are really subject to the discretion and mood of whoever happens to be giving them notice that day.
You mentioned there were surveys you conducted during the Homelessness Action Week. Who were the types of people you were talking to?
So we kind of sectioned off the radius of Hastings and Columbia. So again, this is happening right outside of Co-op Radio every day. And I think it's helpful for listeners to kind of imagine that we were going from Maine and Hastings to about Carroll. We also talked to some folks on the side streets and a little bit north on Main. And by the end of it, we had really talked to everyone who was there throughout the week.
And what sort of responses did you get from the people you spoke to? What do they think about what's going on?
A lot of them pointed out the absurdity of this program that's administered by the city. The fact that they're being told to pack up and leave, but they have nowhere to go. Many of them shared very, very devastating stories of personal belongings that had been taken. There was a woman who told me about Haida art that she had that had been taken and thrown away by a city worker. And that story just really stuck with me, because I know that there were potlatch bans that prohibited Haida people and other folks on the Northwest Coast from having their cultural belongings and their ancestors. And then to hear that a very precious piece of art that had been passed down intergenerationally was so callously thrown away really highlighted that racist colonial nature of the practice. Other folks told us about how they lost photos, family photos. They lost phones that had photos on them. They lost, you know, materials that they need for everyday survival, like rain gear, tarps, tents. We saw one sweep happening where a man's tent was being thrown away. And he said that he had lab wrecks in there and medication. And, you know, we just saw how people were treated as an inconvenience in this process, right? Like, even if the city worker is being professional, it's still dehumanizing to pack up all of your belongings in 5 minutes and be told you have to leave and to know that there's actually nowhere else to go.
Aren't there already groups like, Mission Possible, I think, is one that comes to mind that already organize people in the downtown east side to keep the streets clean?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. There are nonprofits that are employed, I believe, by business improvement associations to do some level of cleaning. We did see those folks out as well. They're not armed with pitchforks. And I think that there's some really great aspects of that model. And again, no one on the street, no one in the community wants it to be dirty or difficult to navigate. But if you look at the built environment itself, there's no garbage bins, there's no bathrooms. So people do end up throwing their things on the sidewalk. They end up using alleys or sidewalks or side streets as bathrooms. And that's a product of the abandonment by the state. And one of the things that we advocated for and called for in our demands related to Homelessness Action Week was community-led cleanups, because folks in the community understand the dynamics that are at play, and they also don't need to come in as these hyper-macho city workers in partnership with armed VPD officers. Like, that's such a heavy-handed approach to the issue at hand.
I wonder, I was looking at the Pivot Legal, the website about the and the press release surrounding the street sweeps and some of the photos that were taken, and I can't help but wondering what sort of reaction did you get from the VPD to see people from Pivot and Vandu and so on standing around with their notepads and cameras? What did they think about the research you were conducting during Homelessness Action Week?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I can share that it wasn't a warm and fuzzy response. So I think on day 3 of our outreach, the city workers called in their foreman, and they also called a VPD sergeant, sergeant number 2047. 2047, yeah. That's the only way he would identify himself to me. They were very interested in the fact that there were cameras out. They kept asking us if we were making a documentary or if we were journalists. And again, just kind of like this low-key intimidation and adversarial way of engaging with people. And, you know, this does beg the question, if this is how VPD officers like number 2047 are interacting with housed members of the public like myself, how are they dealing with people who have very little power and control in the situation? We also had a City of Vancouver urban issues foreman named Stu McMillan take out his own camera and start recording us. I wasn't really sure why, and he didn't answer me when I asked why he was doing that. I don't think we were met with a very professional response either.
It almost sounds like a tit-for-tat reaction. You want to look at us? Well, here's what it's like if you're observed, I suppose, not really knowing what he was going to do with the information he got. But
And it's, you know, it's that kind of attitude that really illuminates the, like, I can only call it immaturity to have a foreman within the city engineering department take out his camera and start recording a group, including folks from the community, as some kind of gotcha. Because we aren't the ones who are pitchforking people's belongings. We're not the ones throwing out family heirlooms. We were literally just out there recording them, which is within our rights. We were documenting what was being taken. And I was really left with the feeling about the power of a clipboard, because just the presence of the clipboard alone was enough to deter them. And in the end, after that first time they engaged with us, the street sweeps crew ended up driving out of the downtown east side early each of the following days. So in a way, we had a bit of a win. We were able to stop that morning street sweep because they crumbled under our counter surveillance.
But nevertheless, the street sweeps are still continuing. As you said, they happen every day of the week, right?
They are continuing. I saw them earlier this week. It was a short-term fix. And I think, like, beyond the sweep, there's this root cause issue, which is there's insufficient housing and inadequate housing. And so people do rely on public space. And a street sweep and this use of city dollars to put into a cleanup crew and officers that accompany them is such a waste of the resources that could actually be redirected to a viable solution.
Now, in the wake of the Homelessness Action Week, what sort of demands are you making to the city?
So we put forth four demands, and these were jointly endorsed by VANDU, the Coalition of Peers Dismantling the Drug War, and PIVOT. So number one was to remove Vancouver police officers from street cleaning teams. Number two was to end and replace the current practice of street sweeps with community-led sidewalk cleaning programs. Number three was to rescind all bylaws that prohibit sheltering and vending on public space. And number four was to rescind the Safe Streets Act and any bylaws that prohibit panhandling. And we did leave an invitation open for city and QP officials to meet with us to begin taking action together.
And has there been any response from the city, at least so far?
Not a response directly to us. The city did issue a statement at the end of Homelessness Action Week where they responded, I think, quite generally to the issues that we had identified. I'm just going to take a look and try and pull that up. I think that they kind of framed it as a training issue.
Now, something also I know that's at least related to the street sweeps, at least so far as criminalizing poverty is the trespass prevention program from the VPD. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
For sure. And this actually completely links to street sweeps. So one thing that we've been talking about quite a bit is how people who rely on public space end up having nowhere to go. And over the last year, PIVOT, alongside a number of other organizations, including the BC Civil Liberties Association, the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, WISH, we've all raised concerns about the VPD's use of something called the Trespass Prevention Program, which is a program that gives police permission and authority to remove people from public space without a complaint being lodged with them. So a property owner or a business owner can register with the VPD Trespass Prevention Program and put up a decal in their window. And that indicates to the VPD that they're able to shuffle someone along if they see them under an awning or seated in a doorway.
So, and what's your response to that? Is this something that the VPD are looking to continue or expand, or what's happening with that?
So we first called for an end of this program early this year in January. And then in June, we submitted a service and policy complaint to the VPD calling for an end to the trespass prevention program. We didn't hear an update until just a week ago. And the VPD told us that they've looked into the program, they've investigated it, and they've decided that they're not criminalizing poverty, so we don't have anything to worry about. Which, to be clear, is a ridiculous position.
Right. In what way is that ridiculous, if you don't mind expanding a bit on that?
The fact that this program and this initiative enable the police to have more contact with members of the public who rely on public space, that is criminalizing poverty. That's sending out police to deal with a non-criminal issue, like sitting under an awning. And again, like, I want to bring this back to Co-op Radio, because when we first moved the station back to the Columbia Street location a few years ago, there were many discussions. I was on the board at the time, actually, and there were a lot of discussions because folks were sitting on the curb. They were sitting on the steps into the station, and it was challenging, right? Like, it impeded people's access to the station at times. Some folks felt uncomfortable asking them to move. But again, this was the product of a city that hasn't invested in housing folks. So they sit on the steps because there's no benches. They sit under an awning because there's nowhere to go where you're not getting wet. It rains here 8 months of the year. To now see that we have the police coming in and offering their services, again, it doesn't actually address the root cause, which is the fact that people have nowhere to go. They don't have sufficient housing, so they end up setting up under an awning. And it's hard to understand that we live in a city where the best approach to that is determined to be businesses putting up a sticker in their window that tells the police they can kick people off their property.
If anyone listening to this wants to get involved in any way at all to help alleviate the situation, what sort of things can listeners do?
I think it would be great if listeners wrote to the police board and raised their own concerns about the trespass prevention program. I think it would also be great if they contacted the City of Vancouver Council and Mayor and highlighted the demands that were put out as part of Homelessness Action Week. We have some friendly folks on City Council who are really willing to take action because they see the ethical imperative to act on these issues. All of our letters and press releases related to both street sweeps and the trespass prevention program are on Pivot's website at pivotlegal.org. And people can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram to stay updated about our work.
It's always great to get a chance to speak with you, Meenakshi. Thank you again for joining us here on The Pulse.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Meenakshi Minot, criminalization and policing campaigner with the Pivot Legal Society, as well as a Co-op Radio programmer with Stark Raven. CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.